Back from the top part of Bobcat Stadium in Bozeman, Montana, on the campus of Montana State University. Matt Harmon rejoining you here as we get set for the start of quarter number three, along with my broadcast partner, Eddie Acapinti, Ray Malaspina, back in the studios of the Shore Sports Network. A couple of quick scores to pass along to you. Not a ton going on in the top 25 tonight. We'll get to that in 1 second. Monmouth's opponent next week, Liberty, did play tonight. Lost to FBS school Kent State by a score of 17-10. Also on the schedule later on this year, Robert Morris. They were beaten handily by Eastern Kentucky, 38-6. There is one game that has now gone final in the top 25, just final. Number 6, South Carolina, beats unranked North Carolina, 27-10. One other game coming up tonight. Number 24, USC, will play at Hawaii.
Those scores from around the country, presented by Coke Zero. Enjoy everything.
Montana State will kick off to begin our second half. Trevor Bolton will give this a good charge, 8 yards deep in the end zone. Trickles out of the back part over the head of Tevron Brandon, and Monmouth will have it first down and 10 from their own 25-yard line as we will begin the third quarter of play. A lot of fans starting to filter out in what was a record-setting crowd night of over 21,000 tonight. As you would expect, maybe with the score the way that it is. I do see some people coming back in. The nice thing is you can kind of leave if you want. Go enjoy the tailgate scene and then come back in. Here's Julian Hayes on first down. He'll get the carry, take it out to the 30-yard line, and pick up 5. First week of classes began on Monday here for the students of Montana State. They have an undergrad enrollment of about just over 12,000, total enrollment of about 15. About the same size as the University of Montana, which is a couple hours off the other direction of the state in Billings. Second down pass to Lamar Davenport. They will rule as a catch and put it out to the 39-yard line. That'll be a Monmouth first down. Very important here for MU. It's easy for us to say this, probably very hard for them to do it. Forget about the scoreboard and just try and regroup here in the second half, especially Brandon Hill, who had a tough first half in his first start as Hawks quarterback. Three wide receivers into the game. Ball set from the left hash mark. Sumlin and Sterling to the right. Davenport up top to the left. Blitz coming. Hill, little play action. Off into the flat. Wanted Sumlin streaking toward the far sideline. Throws incomplete. And that'll bring up a second and 10.
Yeah, wanted a streaking Sumlin. They went play action, brought it then to the short side of the field, and didn't develop, I think, as fast enough as Brandon would have wanted it to. So he kind of rushed a throw, and it was high and behind Sumlin, the intended receiver.
Make it second and 10. Sumlin will check out. Trotting on Elijah Phillips, who will go as a far side wide receiver. Near sideline in single coverage is Sterling. McLafferty and Morrow in a tight end H-back set off to the right side. Here is Hayes up the middle, and he's driven back behind the line of scrimmage. Loss of about a half yard. Three dark blue jerseys in on the tackle, led by Brad Daly, number 41.
Now, Greg mentioned it at halftime, Matt. We talked about it during the first half. There's no two ways around it. Montana State, football team with, I can't see a weakness. Very well-coached, talented, solid football team, and they're going to contend and have a real chance to win this national championship.
McLafferty will go stand up tight end to the right. Four wide receiver package for Hill. Bubble screen set up for Sumlin. Doesn't have any blockers in front. He's got a whole lot of blue jerseys. Trying to dance his way out of trouble. Fumbles the football. And then fallen on by McLafferty at the 30-yard line. Will go as a 9-yard loss. And it will set up fourth down. And the Hawks with an inauspicious start here in the third quarter. They'll have to punt it away.
I think it's something that we'll see throughout the season. But just notice that play and what happened. Sumlin tried to reverse field. He's a player who's very fast, and the Montana State defenders have his speed. Then later in the year, when Monmouth's playing some of these other teams, that play may go for big yards because he's just that much faster.
Spillane gets off a good punt here, hangs in the air. Sean Johnson will field it at the 22-yard line. Shake off the tackle of Johnson, and then Johnson, good work. Nice hustle from Joe Johnson, the sophomore, came back into the play to make the tackle at the 21-yard line, where Montana State will have it first down and 10 for their first possession here of half number two.
Johnson missed initially, got up, bounced up, made the play. Nice play. You like to see the hustle. Seeing Tevin Brandon hustling all game. There, number 28, Joe Johnson doing it. And again, Matt, you made the point. Can't look at the scoreboard. You've got to play each play one at a time.
First and 10 for McGee. High snap, able to field it. Here's the give to Kirk off the right side. He's dropped in the backfield at the 18-yard line for a 3-yard loss. Darnell Leslie up to make the tackle.
I think that's McDonough, who looks to be kind of stretching his thighs out, kind of wincing in pain a little bit. He'll stay on the field. Again, no huddle attack by Montana State.
McDonough, Thompson, and Tom Winters, the three linebackers to begin the half here for Monmouth. Second down and 13 for McGee. Stands in the pocket, wants to throw. Looks off to the right, and quick miscommunication with Brian Flockcutter. It falls incomplete and brings up third and long.
Yeah, McGee thought Flockcutter was going to stop. He kept going, and the ball sailed low behind him and out of play.
Monmouth going to have to make a late substitution here. Winters trying to hustle off the field, and he does. Hippie Saluka on as Monmouth goes nickel. Movement up front. This is going to should be against Montana State with T. Solano, the tight end. Would back the Bobcats up five more. Set up third and 18. Next week, we'll take it down to Virginia, where Monmouth will square off against Liberty out of the Big South, the conference that MU will join in 2014. Next week for this Montana State team, they'll take a trip south to Dallas, Texas, to take on SMU. Third and 18, Monmouth showing blitz from both corners, and here they come off the edge. Demersion able to get McGee, spins off, kept his knee off the ground somehow, and then threw it out of bounds. And then McGee was driven down by Pat O'Hara.
Yeah, and that's the booing you hear. The fans do not like that. They think it was late. The Monmouth defenders are saying it.
Well, a couple things. I just watched the replay. Number one, McGee made an unbelievable play to not have his knee touch the ground in the end zone. And the booing was probably warranted because O'Hara took McGee 5 yards back into the end zone after the play had already stopped.
Yeah, McGee bounces off
Demersion.
Demersion, who came in from the outside, does a great job to keep his balance, better presence of mind to throw it away. We didn't get the end of the replay there, but it did look as though that hit could have been late, and I believe the play clock has run all the way down here.
This will back up Montana State 5 yards with a delay of game and send Rory Perez, who last year averaged over 41 yards per punt, about three-quarters of the way back in his own end zone. Elijah Phillips standing at his own 48-yard line. Hanging punt, not real long. Phillips fields it at the Montana State 48. Trying to come near sideline, shakes one tackle, gets to the 45, and back to the 40-yard line, where Monmouth will start in their second possession of the quarter in Montana State territory. First time that the Hawks have done that tonight.
Didn't get a chance to see the end of that last play on the replay, but what I do know is McGee was driven into, see that Wells Fargo kind of A-frame thing? It's still dented. And that thing's about, you know, 8 yards out of the end zone. So obviously, if you're a defense, you want to hit the quarterback. But you want to hit the quarterback when it kind of works. But I think Monmouth, Matt, lucky to not be flagged on that play.
I would tend to agree. Coach Callahan having a conversation with two of the referees as we're in a TV timeout right now. It'll be first and 10 when we get back to work. MU still looking for their first touchdown of the night.
While we have a minute, we'd like to thank our friends at the Asbury Park Press for their continued support of Monmouth Athletics. For all things Jersey Shore, subscribe to the Asbury Park Press by calling 1-800-822-9770 or visiting app.com/subscribe.
Long timeout going on here as Monmouth gathering their offense on the sideline, talking things over.
I thought you just wanted to let the song play out.
No, just...
That's one of your jams.
Collecting my thoughts. First and 10 now for MU. McLafferty going to go tight end right. Ball set from the right hash mark. Richards, Sterling, and Davenport in a trips package off to the left side. Montana State showing blitz. Hayes going to get it going left. That's where the blitz was coming from. And Hayes somewhat ran right into it. Loss of one on the play. Sets up second and 11.
Hayes had that strong first half. Ran for 100 yards on the nose. By far the best offensive player for Monmouth in that half. Would like to see again some more balls thrown Neil Sterling's way.
Sterling will split out. Wide side of the field, the offensive right. Hayes walks up, steps up to the right of Hill. Hill lets it go, looks for Davenport, who tipped the ball up in the air, deflected him to himself, and will haul it in at the 25-yard line. 16-yard pickup. It'll go for a first down for Monmouth.
Nice concentration by Davenport. Does have a great pair of hands on him, that time pulling one in after deflecting it.
37 catches a year ago. Doesn't miss much when it's thrown his way. McLafferty and Davenport to the left side of the formation. Richards and Sterling back to the right. Hill going to have to deal with the blitz. Coming hard. Going to throw it up over the head of McLafferty, who stopped. Hill read that he was going to the end zone, overthrew him. Fortunately for Monmouth, goes out of bounds, and it only cost him a down, bring up second and 10.
Neither team has scored here in the second half. We've played almost 5 minutes. Hawks still trail 39-3, looking for that first touchdown of the season.
McLafferty back into a three-point stance formation left. Richards, Davenport, and Sterling off to the right. Play action over the middle. McLafferty's got it at the 15. Shakes a tackle, gets down to the 13-yard line. That will go as a first down. 12-yard pickup for Monmouth. And they are inside the Montana State 15-yard line.
Again, not huddling but not hurrying. Checking on the sideline with the call. Three quarterbacks flank Scott Van Zyl down there on the sideline, sending in the signals.
All different sets of signals that come in. McLafferty, H-back. Hayes has the running back. It'll be Hayes getting it. Zone read, outside part, to the right. Breaks a tackle at the line of scrimmage. Bounces forward to the 10, falls forward to the 8. 4-yard pickup, 5-yard pickup, let's call it. It'll set up second and 5. Good drive put together so far from Mama. Started with good field position off the punt return from Phillips.
I was going to say, Matt, that he's able to make those wide plays this year again because he's noticeably fitter and quicker between the tackles.
Listed at 5'10", 225. Fable and McLafferty to the right side. Sterling, Davenport to the left. Hill looks left, wants a throw. Davenport makes the catch inside the 5. Right at the first down marker. This will depend on the spot of the football, whether Monmouth will have it third and very short or first and goal. It'll be first and goal from just outside the 2. Good spot that time for Monmouth. Looks like they will bring in their bigger formation, which tonight has been McLafferty and Fable both into the game at the same time. And Jake Morrow coming in at the H-back spot. Hayes will stay in as a single back. Sterling single receiver to the right. Off the snap, Hayes gets it. Trying the left side. Hayes trying to work his way forward, and he is in for the touchdown. First touchdown of the season for Monmouth. It will go as a 2-yard run from junior Julian Hayes.
Caps off a good drive here, Matt, able to get Monmouth on the board in the second half.
Something they certainly needed here at some point in this game, I think, was to punch one in at some point, at any point, and get just a little bit of positivity on the sideline, and Hayes able to take care of that. Hayes with his 26th rushing touchdown in his career. Here's Eric Spillane for the extra point. That kick is up, and it is good out of the hold of Charlie Vellis. 8:13 to go here in the third quarter. Hawks on the board with 7, 39-10. Our score in favor of Montana State. We're back in 30 seconds on the Shore Sports Network.
Fans, we'd like to remind you to get your Monmouth University football tickets right now. Season and single game tickets as well as group packages are now available. You can call now and ask how to spend your birthday with Shadow at a Hawks game or help your organization or group fundraise with MU. Affordable family fun and entertainment is one call or click away at 732-263-5735 or hawktickets at monmouth.edu.
8:13 to go here from Bobcat Stadium, where Montana State leads Monmouth 39-10. Hawks getting their first touchdown of the year. 2-yard touchdown run from Julian Hayes, who went up over 100 yards in the first half. Hayes' run caps off a 7-play, 40-yard drive that took up 3:07 of the clock. Came after a couple of good things. One was a defensive stop, and then a good punt return, and then a good drive. So all facets of the game working that time for Monmouth. Let's see if they can string maybe something together here in this third quarter.
You know, Matt, it's interesting. Monmouth trails 39-10. You look at the stat sheet, and Denarius McGee, who's thrown for a zillion yards in his career, he's only thrown for 183, but they have ran the ball 19 times for 202 yards.
Kind of goes back to our open. We said a big question mark for this Monmouth team, especially early on, would be their defense. And at certain times tonight, not necessarily measuring up. Here's Lucas Santangelo, drives this one low, but returnable for John Ellis from the 2-yard line. Out now to the 15, gets to the 20. Looking to go to the far sideline, shakes a move at the 25. Flags are out at the 18. And then Ellis ridden out of bounds at about the 34-yard line. This likely coming back with some kind of an illegal block. It'll be a hold from the spot, which is at the 18. So this will back up Montana State pretty deep within their own area. All the way back to the 9-yard line is where they'll put it. And it'll be first and 10 for the Bobcats.
I believe, Matt, still going with starters. Haven't pulled anyone yet. 39-10 our score. 8:02 to go third quarter.
McGee coming back on with his offense. Three wide receivers off to the left. Tight end back to the right. Inside zone give to Cody Kirk. Stacked up at the 13-yard line. That's a gain of 4. I would think maybe in the fourth quarter, if things kind of stay the way they are right now, you could see starters start to come out. But you got to remember something for Montana State. This is their opening game, too. They got to get their guys in game shape. They're playing a level up next week at SMU. And no matter what you do in practice, nothing really simulates that of playing another team on game day with emotions and things like that. Three wide set, two right, one left. Here's McGee wanting to throw. He's got plenty of time, lets it go. He's got a man wide open, and that catch is made by Tanner Bliskin, who slipped past Brandon. I'm not sure if Brandon read the route wrong, but that doesn't happen very often at Tevron Brandon. He's pointing to himself as well. He fell for a late move by Bliskin, who was open by about 5 yards. ball into Mama territory at the Hawk 40-yard line. Tight end standing up this time off to the right side. Here's Kirk on the carry. Will spin his way forward. Contact at the line of scrimmage to the 3-yard line. A 3-yard gain, I should say, to the 40, to the 37-yard line.
How about that throw, Matt, from McGee? On his back foot, lead foot in the air, on a line.
Right on the money.
Won't be shocked to hear his name come April. Or whenever they have the NFL draft.
Four wide receivers set. Two off to the right, two back to the left. Monmouth has shown blitz a lot tonight from their linebackers. Showing it again right now. Onakuzi coming up the middle. Picked up, delivering a strike over the middle is McGee to Ellis, who will catch it and pick up a first down. At the 26-yard line, that's an 11-yard pickup. We're at the 6-minute mark in a pretty quick-moving third quarter so far. And McGee gets his offense right back to the line. Checks things over, dropped his mouthpiece, picks it up off the turf, and hands off here to Sean Johnson, who will run off the right side. Pick up four. Stacked up with the 22, second and six. Tackle for Monmouth made by Demersion and Jerzynski.
That was weird, wasn't it? Put it back in with no qualms.
Was quick to pick it back up. 5-second rule.
It applies to mouthpieces as well. This Bobcat tempo has slowed here in the second half, by design, I'm sure.
I would think so, too. Johnson stays in as the running back off to the right side. Four out into the pattern. They set up screen off to the right for Johnson. He'll make the catch behind the line of scrimmage and get tackled behind the line of scrimmage. Read well by Tevron Brandon, who kind of blew the play up. Darnell Leslie on the tackle. And Leslie has been a bit of a bright spot defensively. We've called his name a bunch of times, and he's making plays behind the line of scrimmage. He's a speed guy, 6'2", 225, which isn't your prototypical defensive end size. But Leslie makes up maybe for the lack of size with unbelievable speed off the edge. Third down and 7. McGee wants to go to the air. Goes over the middle. Pass broken up by Pat Gray. The intended target was Ellis. Good coverage. And the field goal team coming back on here for Montana State.
And credit the Monmouth defense, Matt. They've been better here in the second half. And haven't allowed any points up until this point.
Let's see if they can keep off the board here. They did block a kick earlier in the game. Perez will try this one from 40. Well within his range. Strikes it well, and it splits the uprights. Put 42 up on the board for Montana State. They lead the Hawks by 32. We step out with 4:22 to go in the third quarter. You're listening to Monmouth Football on the Shore Sports Network. 4:22 to go in the third quarter, 42-10 in favor of Montana State. Matt Harmon, Eddie Acapinti back here on the Shore Sports Network. Rob Ash, the head coach of Montana State, in his 7th year as the head coach here in Bobcat Country, 34th year as a head coach overall, an overall record coming into the game of 226, 121, and 5. Was at Juniata, then Drake, and now Montana State. And I think if my quick math is on cue, in 34 years coming into this year, he's had 4 losing seasons.
I did the same math, and you would be correct. He hasn't had one since 2002. And I believe that was at Drake.
Was it Drake? 2011 National FCS Coach of the Year. And every year here at Montana State, things have gotten a little bit better. 6-5, 7-5, 7-4, 9-3, 10-3, and 11-2 last year. He already has more wins in school history than anyone, coming in with 50 tonight. High end over end kickoff. will again sail over the head of Cheney and Brandon. And out of the back of the end zone, first and 10 for Monmouth coming up at their own 25.
That last Montana State scoring drive, in which Rory Perez ended it with a 40-yard field goal, traveled 67 yards in eight plays, took 3:51 off the clock, and it gives us the current score of 42-10. And something, Matt, we should point out, a lot of that record-setting 21,007 attendance still here. Give them credit.
Yeah, a lot still here. I would agree. Off first down for Monmouth. Hayes will get it. Trying to run outside of the right. Stopped and cut back to the left and ran into Alex Singleton, the outside linebacker. No gain on the play. It'll make it second and 10. Exactly 4 minutes to go in the third quarter. Montana State up big, 42-10. Which, ironically enough, is what the Bozeman paper predicted the final score to be tonight.
I saw that.
Three wide receivers set. They wanted Sterling on a little screen. Instead, they'll go outside on a deep out pattern for McLafferty, who will make the catch at the 40-yard line. That's a gain of 15 and a first down.
Dropped that pass early in the game. Good to see. I like the design. They run it again, this time able to execute.
McLafferty, who shared time the last couple of years with Tyler George, had 23 catches last year. Good enough for fifth on the team. Three wide again. Kowal and Phillips up top. Sterling near sideline to the right. Here's Hayes. Chopped down to the backfield again by Singleton. Looks like Montana State has figured out Julian Hayes a little bit more here in this second half. He was Monmouth's go-to guy in the first. 1 yard loss, make it second and 11.
It's kind of coincided with the passing game looking a little better here in the second half, more crisp. But you're right, they appear to have figured out both the zone read and the power play that they try to use Julian for.
On second and 11. Hill claps the hand. Sets up a bubble screen for Elijah Phillips. And that's defended well on the outside. Aaron Barnett. And Sean Gourds combine on the tackle. You know, Monmouth has seen that this year with transfers from UMass and Temple. At Montana State, they've got transfers from Hawaii, Texas, Nevada, Louisiana Tech. Ultimately, I'll finish the thought in a second, with 2 minutes left in the quarter. Hayes, screen pass to the outside, blown up by Montana State. Tackle in the backfield by Taylor Sheridan. Just to finish what I was going to say, Eddie, with the move from Monmouth to the Big South, with plans approved for a redesign of the stadium, hopefully phase one of a couple, you come out here, as you and I have and some of the staff that's been out here, you kind of soak it all in, and you hope that this is what Monmouth becomes with an increase in scholarships, with better play and a bigger conference.
That's the eventual plan, Matt, is to get to this level of football.
Spillane hangs one up in the air off the punt, down by Justin Pandorf at the 27-yard line. And, you know, make no bones about it, Monmouth has had its fair share of success in the Northeast Conference, 5 NEC championships in 20 years, now year number 21. But you make a jump up in level of competition, and you kind of see what it's all about when you come out to a place like this.
You said where some of the transfers have come in from, and it's kind of an overall program infusion. You start upping everything a little bit, from scholarships to facilities to level of competition.
75 seconds coming up now on the clock in the third quarter. Here's the inside carry. It will go to number 17, Chad Newell. He's the third back tonight that we have seen. Newell, a redshirt freshman, 6'1", 220 pounds from Billings, Montana. He came from the rival town. That is where the University of Montana is. We've also got a new quarterback into the game, Jake Bleskin, number two. His brother of wide receiver Tanner Bleskin, in case you're wondering. The give here again is to Newell, tackled at the line of scrimmage by O'Hara and Eisenstadt.
Both Bleskins on the field at the same time. So kind of a mixture between ones and twos in the game right now for the Bobcats.
Three wide receiver package. Two left, one up top to the right. Bleskin will give it again here to Newell. Bounces off a couple tackles and then dropped after a two-yard pickup. Tackle made that time for Monmouth by Brad Brown, number 62.
Gray with the stop.
You know, Montana in its own right, as the quarter's going to come to a close here, Montana in its own right has been a pretty solid FCS program as well. I was curious coming in, you know, you get things set for the game, and you wonder, how could two teams from Montana, us being a little naive from the Northeast and New Jersey, where do they get all their players from?